Hey, hey, welcome. This is the Win the Content Game podcast. My name is Deidre Shen and I'm joined by
Bonna Rai.
We are the co-founders of Capshow, which is the fastest way to create content design to get you more leads. And in today's episode, it's going to be a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It's a lot more of a reflective episode,
yeah,
I would
yeah.
say. So hang with us. We're going to reflect on some tactical things. You know, we just did a summit. We literally just got off the back of holding this year, so 2024's three-day summit that Capshow hosts every year. And we're also going to reflect on where we're heading as Capshow as a product, content-wise, all of the things. So strap in. We're in for a pretty meaty episode.
We are. I was going to say treat, but also meaty.
Yeah.
A meaty treat.
All right, we'll start with the summit, because that just ended. By the time we're recording this, we're literally the day after the summit ended.
Yep.
It was a three-day summit called Get More Clients From Your Content Summit. And if you have been living under a rock, you would probably not know that. But literally, we've been talking about this summit for the last however many weeks on this podcast. Bonna, reflections. Let's start with maybe what did we... So this is our... Gosh, how many years have we been doing this?
This is our fourth one.
Fourth year running.
20... Yeah, it must be. Yep.
Straight. What would you say were some of the things that we did differently this time?
Well, I think the big massive change, the biggest change was in the, I guess, the format and delivery. We decided that we wanted to actually live stream the three days this year versus, I guess, for those of you who are familiar with the, you know, the typical virtual summit, it's all of the... Each day is published onto a landing page and available for 24 hours where you can kind of watch it in your own time. We actually streamed all of our interviews and a presentation from you live. So I thought that was, I'd never seen it being done that way. And it was definitely a big change up in our operations.
It really was. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. And our stress levels, but you know, who's counting the white hairs anyway? Like I am.
Yeah, for sure. And so just to take a step back, for people who maybe don't know what a three-day virtual summit is, it's literally, I guess it is kind of what it says on the tin, but we had 30 expert speakers. I had actually pre-interviewed them before the go live date of the summit. And basically that's what we streamed live. So they were pre-recorded videos, but they were streamed live. And the whole purpose of a summit, we just want to give to our community. We want to add value. But from a business perspective, it's a great lead gen engine, actually, because with you promoting, obviously with your speakers promoting, you know, you're getting a lot of fresh new faces onto your list.
Yeah.
And visible to you. Not visible to you. You're visible to them.
I was going to say, yeah, because I don't think we can see our viewers. In case everyone's worried, like, did you have... We didn't have any webcams looking at you. But we are... You could see us.
Yes. It's great from a brand perspective as well.
Yes.
So streaming live was definitely something we did differently. I guess because of the fact that we streamed live. So generally when it's on a landing page, we just basically put up each pre-recorded interview as like a separate video. But because of the fact that we had to stitch them together, I felt like there was a lot more thought put into the choreography.
Yep.
There was a much more cohesive vibe. You know, we had a bit of fun with it, I would say.
Yeah.
You did a really great job with the team on, you know, putting together the in-betweeners. So it's like the what was shown in the green room.
Yeah,
the ads for the capture ads that we put in the middle. So it was actually a really great opportunity for us to actually talk about what it is that we do without actually talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like, I think live streaming does put you in that frame of mind a little bit more to that point, to think about what the transitions will feel like and where it makes sense to remind people, kind of like when you're watching TV, I guess. TV, do people still watch TV? Cable TV, yeah. You know, those ads are kind of like pattern interrupt, but also us hopefully seamless. And then, to that point, like we generally don't do a great job of talking about ourselves.
Yeah, no.
We've had that feedback. So we were like, this is a great opportunity for us to bring the brand into it with a bit of fun and in a way that feels true to us, but it's still serving our end audience. So that was a bit more stressful to put together, but I think it made for a much more engaging experience for everyone.
Yeah, and I think the really great thing, what I found with being able to have those opportunities to put in, like, for example, the green room footage, and it really highlighted our personality as a brand a lot more. And it's those kind of intangible things that you actually don't really realize or think about going into it. But then afterwards, it's like, oh, hey, that was a lot. We had a lot of fun doing it. And hopefully
and
people...
And our speakers did as well.
People watching it had a lot of fun, you know, watching what was going on. So, I actually think that that was a really effective way to, you know, highlight the more nuanced parts, the personality of our yes. brand, but also actually tell people what it is that we do.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas a landing page can be very flat and static. So yeah. you can put all the branding elements as we think about them, which is your logo and all of that kind of stuff. But this brings it to life a bit more. And even just because it was live, we were also able to do live comments coming in. We could run polls. We could also drop the speakers, links and stuff in real time, which just adds that little bit of dimension. Like they can always go back and grab the links. That's not the point. But I think it just brought a bit of life into the experience for everyone else as well.
Yeah.
So, and it's nice to be associated with that as a brand ourselves.
Yes. Yeah, and I guess that's the thing, you know, as Bonner mentioned, we're not great at talking about ourselves, especially these events on. But being able to almost insert capture ads and we just had a much clearer, call to action.
Yes.
I found, right?
Yeah.
Whereas in the last summits, I just don't even think we did any call to action.
No, so to be honest. Yeah, it was almost like, because between talking about the speakers and the content and all of that, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of people might forget or especially if you've done a good job of promoting the summit and these are people who are new to you, that's the whole point of the exercise.
Yeah.
Them to get a really, really clear direction of like, oh, okay, you're hosting the summit. This is what you do. And the content I'm consuming right now, that's how it relates to your product. Okay. And I have to take that action. Yes. I think that we did a better job and also by simplifying, because we didn't overcomplicate it with the things we wanted them to do. Yes. It wasn't about come join our community, come download this, the other thing. It was just like, just try Capture for free, 14 days, you know, easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which we also did. We've never done this before, but we actually had a day four technically, but it was literally just a 45-minute webinar.
Yep.
Also a follow-up. It was really just a demo of Capture.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And I guess it was the same call to action off the back of that. It's like sign up to a free trial. So it was, I felt like cohesively we just did a better job at being focused on the end result. The end
That's
outcome.
Hard. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess if anyone's listening to this, if you think you're putting on a summit or if you've put one on before, hey, we're also open to questions. If you want to email us, hi@capture.com, to, you know, be like, hey, this is what I'm doing, or I'd love to hear more about what it is that you did with XYZ. Like we're super happy to answer questions on that.
Yeah.
Not to say that we're like super summit experts, but again, fourth year running one.
And we've tried pretty much, I guess, every playbook out there. So we can definitely speak about it from a implementation perspective.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And I guess the other thing that we did do differently is the types of assets that we created off the back of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So in a couple of different areas, which was cool. So I think one of the mindset reframes I had to make, especially running this like live, I mean, every summit is live in the sense of that there's a certain period of time that the summit is available for, was almost going, oh, there's a lot of pressure to make sense, you know, make feel like it's like in that period and it has to really, really bang. But giving ourselves, I think, the challenge of going, okay, how can we treat this as an asset maker that's going to be more evergreen? Was probably the first thing that we had to sort of think about. And one of the cool little projects that kind of came up during the summit as we were preparing was to say, well, there's all these really great interviews and, you know, you can definitely keep watching them, but, you know, could we turn it into a book that, you know, A, is already branded, because the summits, you know, you've done such a great job of branding the summit and the theme and the choreography. There's so much hard work that's gone into choreographing the 3 days. That's perfect structure for a book, which is a great way to then, you know, repurpose the content, but in a completely different way. And it feels so tangible. And again, it's something that we can use as lead magnets. We could use it as, you know, gifts and all that kind of stuff. So, and a way to commemorate the great work. So I thought that was, and that's something that, you know, at the moment as we're recording, we're actively working on putting the finishing touches on, but then giving, I guess, ourselves the challenge of like, okay, how does one write a book from 33 presentations? You know, there's so much content. How do we pull this together? And I think that project was really, really fun. And I think it's going to be a really great asset for our audience and our future customers.
Yeah.
For our speakers.
Yeah.
And for us, and then, you know, probably a lead magnet going forward as well.
Yeah. And what we did do with the book as well was that with the day four webinar, we actually said, hey, for anyone who registers and comes to the webinar, you'll actually get the
the book for free.
So it was actually, we used it kind of as like a gift for people to show up to the demo of Capture. Really. Yeah. So that was kind of how we used it in the very first instance. But, you know, there's, as Bonner said, it's limitless. And by the way, on the book, more on this to come, we've actually did something really cool using Capture. But so we'll share a little bit about that in a little bit.
Yes.
The other thing too, in terms of the assets that we did, so generally if anyone's run a summit, there's kind of like a template that we usually send to our speakers. And I think everyone's kind of used to getting this in some form. Now, if you've been a speaker on a summit, it's kind of like you just get a Google Doc with hyperlinks to, here's a Canva template for your headshot on a branded, you know, graphic. And here's like another section of the Google Doc with, you know, email text and or copy and social media copy and things like that. So what we kind of did differently, I mean, obviously we used Capture to repurpose everyone's interviews. So we did have, you know, email copy, we did have social media, we had video clips, because if you didn't know, Capture does video clips now. And we actually created a personalized landing page for each speaker, which they loved.
Yeah.
It felt legit because it was not a Google Doc. It was literally like a web page and everything was really was laid out, and they could just like hit copy or download the video clips or the graphics and things like that. And and a lot of it was just us using Capture as the inputs for that. So I thought that was really cool. I don't know if you heard more from the speakers as to feedback on
I mean, we hosted, one of the things I guess we do before the summit is we have a, you know, a speaker kind of like get together, a networking session, and that was one of the things that everyone spoke about. And I think it does make a really big difference. I remember I'd be like putting together these, like, you know, these Google Docs and just enraged that some speakers aren't reading them. But also knowing that, you know, it's not that they don't appreciate the work we're putting in, but it's like they're not the most inspiring thing to read, and you gotta like find where your links are and things like that. And it's just like this, I think, because we're all just very simple creatures at the end of the day, it does make a difference. And I think it was just so different to what they were used to receiving. And for us, you know, still a bit of work to put together, but we're having to create that content anyway. That's the thing, right? Using Capture or otherwise to pull all those assets together, this is just a really beautiful way for it to be presented a little bit differently. So that was kind of like the main thing people were talking about. They're like, oh, like, how did you create it? And how can I do it? And we were like, oh, well, you know, you just have to wait and see. Because we were still figuring it out ourselves, right? That's what we eat our own dog food. So we're like still experimenting with it. So more to come on that. But I think that was almost, and at the end of the day, these are speakers who gave us their time. Mm. You know, they gave us their effort in talking about the summit, sharing us with their audience. Like this is just, I think, a really nice way for us to elevate that experience for them, so that they understand how much we value them contributing to this and, you know, and vice versa, obviously. But I think it's part of just, again, that nurturing that relationship. And it's just nice to be, you know, create something aesthetically better looking as well, always.
Yeah. So maybe we could maybe in the show notes, maybe we could do a screenshot or something. We'll put that. We'll put that in the show notes. Okay.
Yeah.
So in terms of like, so I think there were a few things that we did differently that we quite liked.
Yeah. I think most of the big changes we brought in, I would say pretty much all of them. Like, if you asked us during the summit, we'd be like, no, we're not doing that. Whose idea was this? But now, having a day to have thought about
not
it.
Not even, yeah.
Yeah. And knowing that we'll just do it better next time because we learned some operational things that we can tighten up, I think they're actually really great changes.
Yeah. So I guess the only thing that we would look to do, I found that the time of year was challenging.
Oh, yes.
For us, I mean, I don't know about everyone else, but like, I am tired.
Tired seems to be the mood.
Exhausted. So, and I think, you know, a lot of our speakers were as well. I think a lot of people just generally I think we're all just generally tired. So I would probably not look to do one in November next time. And to be honest, I'd probably want to shorten it next time. So maybe even just do them more frequently, quarterly or something, but do like one or two days.
1 to 2 days?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what.
Yeah. Day three is probably the one where people start to get a little, it's a little difficult.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Quarterly is good. Yeah. Monthly is too much, I think.
Yeah. So that's kind of like our reflections in terms of how we approached the summit this year. So if you guys, again, we're open to answering any questions, email us at hi@capture.com. And if you're planning on doing a summit, we love summits, by the way. So we're always going to be doing them. I feel so like Yeah, we'd love to brainstorm with you. Even if you're like, hey, did you try this other thing that, or this worked really true, well for yes. my summit? We would love to hear from you because we will steal all the ideas. Yeah. We will take them. Okay, cool. So then I guess I want to talk now about Capsho.
We haven't the things you teased.
Yeah, we haven't really given an update in a while on what we're doing product wise. Oh, okay. Mm. Background. Where do we start? So let's start with the journey of where we've come from. Just to recap, because if you've been following us since like day, if you're an OG, gosh, when was that? When did we launch? June 2022.
Was it?
Two years ago. Yeah. Oh, yeah. More than 2 years ago.
Yes. 2.5 now.
Yeah. So
we're still in our terrible twos, which you can probably tell.
Yeah. So I remember our very, very first foray into even talking about Capsho was Podfest.
Yes.
Back then. Back then, Podfest was in May, I want to say, or April.
Yes. May, I think. May. Yeah, went down in May.
Mm-hmm. And literally we had no product. Like Capsho was just, our developer was working on it, like literally as we were at Podfest.
Yes.
But we were talking about this concept of, hey, how cool would it be if you could just upload your podcast episode and get show notes written automatically for you? And at the time, I mean, this was pre-ChatGPT, so everyone was like, what? No way. Yeah. How is that even possible?
This. Yeah.
And so that was like our first, very, very first time we even spoke about Capsho. And it's been a journey since then, hasn't it? It went from being a podcast show note writer to obviously helping with more content marketing. So branched out into writing social media assets and email copy and blogs and all the things. And then it branched out a little bit more to then serve not just podcasts, strict podcasters, but entrepreneurs who not only podcast, but maybe they YouTube or they create videos or training.
Yep.
And we're finding now that, you know, what's really cool is that all along this journey, we've kind of been growing with our members, with our Capshovians.
Yep.
And, you know, we've been reading between the lines a lot in terms of like the conversations that we have with Capshovians to be like, hey, they might be like, wouldn't it be great if you did this? Like, I would love if you could write, you know, a LinkedIn post that goes with the video clip. Or I would love if you could, how about TikTok? Like, are you going to do anything with TikTok? Or we could literally be like, okay, cool. What are all these requests? But then the broader question becomes actually, people love the quality of what Capsho produces. They believe in how we've set up our own AI to basically create things that aren't AI.
if that
makes sense. Like, I don't know if that quite, but like, you know, I guess it's that point of like the quality is really high that comes out of Capsho.
Yeah. Because I think in that time while we were, you know, we broadened out, we then kind of went deep on going, okay, well, AI is great. Cause at that time now everyone's able to, you know, write content for you.
Yeah.
But we spent a lot of time and effort in helping you actually, how can you use AI but still sound like you? That was like probably the big investment of time that we wanted to really get right for our engine versus other, you know, AI tools out there.
Yeah, and people who got it. Like they, you know, we have Capshovians with us from the very beginning who are, if they say themselves like, we're never going to leave because we know how good Capsho is, and they
care about the quality of the content coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously Capsho is not for everyone. Like, you know, if you don't, I shouldn't say it that way, but
I know what you were going
to. You know, if it's not the highest priority to, you know, overweight quality, you just want to pump things out, then, you know,
it may not be for you.
It may not be for you, but we were very intentional to be like, hey, this is the kind of person that we're serving, the people who actually want results from the content that they're producing and who actually wants to create content with purpose. Mm. We knew very early on that was like who we're serving, who we're talking to. And so as we were kind of hearing these requests, it wasn't so much like, yes, we can go away and build these individual assets, but it also was more like, hey, like, is that even worth us doing, or should we actually start to open up our platform to let people actually build their own assets?
Yeah.
And then that got us into, well, building their own assets, like that's going to be number one that where Capsho starts to go. But then it's like, but if we can have people build their own assets, then doesn't it just make sense for them to be able to build their own tools? And imagine for the person that our Capshovian who is an entrepreneur generally probably even a solopreneur, or maybe they have like a really small team, you know, they want to grow their business, but we all know how much of a headache growing headcount can be. So they don't want to grow headcount. We all know the power of AI from an efficiency perspective, from, you know, as in it can save you time, but still give you really good quality outputs. And it's really great way to actually start to think about how to use, and AI is such a great tool to leverage to start to even make money and get more leads in the door. So we looked at that and was like, we actually think that Capshow can help with all of that. We actually think that Capshow can actually help people build their AI workforce. That's not only internally, like, yes, obviously from an efficiency perspective, you can build tools that will help fast track a lot of, you know, repeatable things that you do, things that you or your team do, but it could also be coaching assistants or lead magnet assistants, like, you know, things that can actually help you and your clients get results because it can help them actually implement the strategies that you teach.
Yeah.
Like, how cool would that be?
And I think the epiphany for us as a team was like, we've come to believe that we're better placed to serve our Capshovians, I guess essentially in this case, by teaching them to fish rather than giving them the fish, or because we can't fish fast enough. Someone's going to want, you know, efficiency related things. Someone's going to be like, oh, but what about, like, I don't have a problem with leads. I really want to serve my clients. Could I get a, you know, could you build a thing that does this? And A, it's a very complicated product roadmap to juggle. But then we're like, hang on, I think if we've built all of this capability to be able to do all of these things, we should democratize it in a way. And that's a much better way, much more efficient, but I think a more impactful way for us to serve as well.
Yeah.
And we can always have our own tools that we share with our Capshovians.
Of course.
You know, especially like the tool we've created to, you know, create the book from the virtual summit. We'll absolutely share that. But we're not the be all and end all experts of every type of AI tool that someone's going to need. So I think it's a much more impactful way to be able to help them build it.
Yeah.
And then it's a kind of a different product design challenge for us as well, but one that I think is going to be really, really fun.
Yeah. And the really cool thing is that, you know, you might be thinking, oh, but, you know, I can build custom GPTs and things like that, which totally can. But the whole purpose of Capshow is it's actually backed by the... We've made things so simple for our members because we've done all the complicated hard work in the back end.
Yeah.
So really, you know, our tool building tool is going to be super simple to use on the front end, but it's going to be backed by all the complexity and how we actually get such quality outputs.
Yep.
And it's going to obviously have the knowledge source and you know, your own personalized brain that actually is plugged into that, because if you already use a Capshow, like, there's already so much that you know, we can pull on from you. So,
and talking to a lot of our Capshovians who do use custom GPTs, we understand the pain point with keeping them, you know, they're very hit and miss, you know, keeping them updated, like just the complexity of having to use them. So we understand that that's a halfway solution at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, and there's reason for that. That's not a criticism on them. So it's really kind of like, for those of you even who have already tried to use other AI tools for that purpose, this is going to be the difference.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of our commitment, because if we can't do that, then what's the point, really?
Yeah, for sure. And so, you know, what Bonner was alluding to before, like one big, big use case that we've started on from a cap, as we're testing this idea out, is actually creating a book. So basically we built a tool, which is actually so simple. I almost want to create, maybe in the show notes, we just do a really quick like video.
Yeah.
Of like how we built the tool, which is like, as I said, from a user perspective, so, so easy. But the quality output is so high. And so we were able to actually, you know, build the tool once and then it just runs, you know, through the 33 or, you know, interviews and create really high quality, consistent outputs, which is really hard to get even from a custom GPT or ChatGPT, because sometimes it forgets things or it doesn't quite follow, you know, and you just have to like remind it about, hey, I told you before that this was, you know, how I wanted you to structure things and all of those. But like the tool just worked really, really well.
Yeah. And I think editing the outputs was a bit of a dream because, A, you know, like to your point, it's kind of done a really good job of like getting the right insights and things like that. But just the fact that it understood that this was a book and it has structured it a certain way, I was able to give it, you know, obviously in designing it, give it some guidance on how I wanted it to be. And it just, all of that stuff was taken care of.
Yeah.
And then obviously, because we don't ever believe in just publishing AI-generated stuff, then there still is human editing required, as there should be. But that process was so much simpler.
Yeah. So that's just enjoyable. One example. That's one example of a tool that we've built that you could build in the future using Capture.
Mm.
You know, other examples are things like, hey, if you have a particular part of your strategy, like, for example, Jenna Larson, who talks all about Facebook groups and social media posts and DMs, like one of the tools that she could build is basically how to name your Facebook group, right? So super simple. We have another friend who's in the coaching space. She has this framework called like the light bulb moment, and she could basically build that into a tool to then give her, use that as a lead magnet to then be like, hey, if you want to know what your ideal client's actually thinking and how you're going to get them to go from maybe to a yes, a heck yes, use this tool to find that light bulb moment out. You know, like it, we have, you know, other people who have use cases like, you know, here's my ideal client or my ideal listener, and I just want to have a conversation with them to check whether this guest I'm going to have onto my podcast is purpose fit for them. That tool can be built through Capture. Like there's a ton of use cases. We barely scratched the surface. So I'm so excited about where Capture's heading, who we're serving, and what they're going to be able to do with the platform.
Yes.
So that's to give you an insight. We're running pretty hard, but it's pretty exciting. So again, we would love to hear from you actually, if you're hearing this and you're confused about what we're saying, because we do have to, you know, tighten up our messaging and marketing around how we're going to talk about this. Either you're confused or you get it and you're so excited and you have use cases, or you'd love to just be on the journey with us, then like, please reach out to us. Again, email is hi@capture.com. We would love, love, love to hear from you. And then that kind of leads us into, I guess, the last thing that we want to talk about on this episode. For anyone who heard last week's episode, which was with JLD, he spoke about this concept of creating content worth publishing. And that kind of like hit me hard a little bit when we started talking about that, because that's been on my mind a little, you know, even with this podcast. And especially with where Capture is going, I feel like we kind of need to go back to the drawing board and ensure that the content that we're creating is actually aligned and worth publishing.
Mm-hmm. With this new context in mind.
Yeah, with this new context, with not necessarily it's not really a different audience we're speaking to, but it's just a different, it's different problems that we're now looking to solve for them. And, you know, obviously over the next few weeks and months, we're going to be going deep into product design mode and testing building. And doing a lot of customer interviews and UX testing and all those things, that we've actually made a decision about this podcast that we're going to be going on a bit of a hiatus.
Yeah.
So don't miss us too much.
There's enough episodes for you to listen to and stay up to date. But
so for now, this is a see you later.
Yeah. We don't want to say soon because we don't know how long the hiatus is going to be for. Yeah.
But we will be back. I mean, we are going through a planning session ourselves of like what content is going to make sense, what mediums are going to make sense, all of the things. So you will, like, this is definitely not a goodbye.
Yeah.
You will 100% be hearing from us. It's just, you know, going to maybe be, we don't know.
Yeah.
Like where, when, and how.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
This has been fun though.
Yeah.
It's been a fun little chapter. Well, quite a big chapter, but
it has been a very big chapter.
Yes.
So we would love to hear from you if you would miss us. I don't know. Hopefully you will. Otherwise,
yeah, write us and tell us. Otherwise, we know that you miss us.
Yes. Again, hi@capture.com. But yeah, this last episode I feel like has been very heavy of like, we would just love to hear back from you on all the things. And if you have ideas as well as to, you know, where we could be going with this or another show, then yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
We're all ears at the moment.
Yeah. Have we covered everything?
I think so. I think those are the main points. It's like a meaty episode.
Yeah, meaty, but we also just really kind of like sped through it.
Did we? Okay, cool. That's good. Brevity is good.
Yes. Okay, well, I guess see you later.
Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
This time.
And you'll hear from us soon. But you know what they say, as always? Stay intelligently lazy. Bye.